We discussed at length the Orein and the Shul and the Menorah, and eventually what happened to each and every one of those two precious Kalim. Before we get to the topic of where are they today, I want to also talk briefly in today's shiur about the rest of the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. Let's go through a little bit of a historical journey regarding the Kalim, the vessels of the Beis HaMikdash. We know that there were two Batei Mikdashes, Bayis Rishon and Bayis Sheni. Bayis Rishon stood for 410 years, and it was destroyed by Nebuchadnezzar, Melech Bavel. Nebuchadnezzar brings a lot of Yidden to Bavel, including the famous Tzaddik and Novi Daniel. Now, the Novi Daniel, it's a very geshmaka read, but it's very difficult because it's mainly in Aramaic. And there's a lot to fabreng about the nevuos of Daniel, and maybe a different time. But the Navi tells us about an event that takes place after Nebuchadnezzar passes away and his son Mordechai, and they have now the king is Belshazzar. Belshazzar makes a calculation. Everybody knew that Yidden were supposed to be in Golos for 70 years. And he makes a calculation that the 70 years are up. And he makes a big Suda. Now the Navi Daniel, you have a few psukim in the page in front of you. This is the beginning of Perek Hei of Daniel. We're going to read the English, where it says, King Belshazzar made a great feast for one of his 1,000 dignitaries, and he drank as much wine as the 1,000. He was partying hard. Belshazzar said, with the counsel of the wine, in other words, he was drunk, to bring the golden and silver vessels that his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the Beis HaMikdash that was in Yerushalayim, and everyone should drink from them. So Nebuchadnezzar had, when he conquered the Beis HaMikdash, it's obvious that he also had the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash, and he had them stored away. And Belshazzar says, that's it, time is up, we can fabreng now, and he brings out the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. Now everybody knows what happens next, but for those few that may need a reminder, a hand comes out on the wall and writes a bunch of words. And the words say on the wall, Minei Minei Tkalu Farsin. And he doesn't know, what does this mean? And they ask anyone that can understand the meaning of these words. So finally Daniel is brought to the king, and he says like this, that the words are telling you that the Abishter has counted your kingdom, and he's brought it to an end. And Belshazzar dies that night, and they are conquered by the Parsin, Melech Poras Umodai, which then leads directly into the story of Purim. Now, before we have Achashverosh, you have the king Koresh, who was very, very nice. And the Navi Ezra tells us about King Koresh, you look in the Psukim, that Vamelech Koresh hoitzi es kli beis Hashem, when he conquered Belshazzar and Bavel, he also conquered and he took captive the Kalim of the Beis HaMikdash. So the King Koresh, he brought it, and basically, he kept it for himself and his avoida. But then he decides something. He decides he's going to give it back to the Yidden and send it off to Yerushalayim. And like the pasuk says, "Kol kelim lazov lakesef chameishis alofim varba meis hakol hela shashbatzar yemeilois hagoyim mibav Yerushalayim." Because we had Sheshbatzar, who was the Nasi of Yehuda, So when the Yidden start going up to rebuild the Bayis Sheni, they brought with them, with the permission of the king, the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, which would seem that at that point all the kelim were returned to Yerushalayim. Now this is still before the actual story of Purim. However, we know that in the story of Purim, it says that Ahasuerus also makes a big suda, and he once again thinks that the 70 years are up. And it says, Vahashkois, you know, he makes a big party and they're drinking. And the Pasuk says, V'chelim mikelim shoinim, that they have farshidina, different types of kelim. And the Medrash, if you open up the Esther Rabbah, which is the Medrash Rabbah on Megillas Esther, it says that first he brought out his kelim and compared it to the kelim of everybody else, and everyone saw that his kelim were superior in beauty. But then, Hevi kelim ukli beis hamikdash, then they brought out these kelim shoinim, when the Megillah says that they brought out these different style kelim, included in those different style kelim are the kelim of the beis hamikdash. V'nimtza noyim v'yofin mikelim. It came out that the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash were even nicer than his kelim. So it's quite obvious that at least some of the kelim of Bayis Rishon were not returned to Eretz Yisrael. That when the Melech Kodesh, which is recorded in Ezra, says that they returned the kelim, it obviously was not all the kelim, because we find kelim by the Suda of Achashverosh. And of course, the Eibishter is upset at him as well. Now, so we find, obviously, the Beis HaMikdash, the Bayis Sheni, is rebuilt. So that's the story of the kelim. What happened to the kelim of Bayis Sheni? So we have a Gemara, where the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Vav Amud Beis, tells us about Titus HaRosha, that he was such a Rosha that he pushed cursed out the Eibishter. And the Gemara asks, what did he do? It says, Tofas Zoyna, he took a woman, not Sneezdik, a woman, and they went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, V'itziya Sefer Torah, they spread out a Sefer Torah, V'over La'aveda, they did an Aveda. Then he took out a Sayof, which is a knife, basically, and he stabbed the Peroiches, and the Eibishter made a nest that blood started pouring out, and he thought he killed the Eibishter. And what happened? Finish off the Gemara. Ma'asa, what did he do? Notelasa peroiches. He took the big peroiches, which was this huge curtain. Va'asa kamin gargusoni, which he made like a... If you fold it up, it becomes like a big, big, you could put stuff in, like, because it becomes like a burlap sack. He brought all the kelim of the second Beis HaMikdash. He puts it into the sack, which was made out of the cloth of the peroiches. And he's bringing back the kelim of the Beis HaMikdash to a city. So obviously, coming into the city of Rome, you find the kelim, they're there, and also the peroiches. And as we find in Tosefta, Masechta Yuma, that once again we have the testimony of Rabbi Elazar ben Rabbi Yosi on his journey to Rome, and he says, Aniri siya beroimi, I actually saw this peroiches in Rome, v'hoya le tipi domim, and I saw, Taka, there were drops of blood still stained on the peroiches. Just like the Gemara records that the blood came out, he actually saw the blood on the peroiches. V'amruli, but here's the interesting fact. They told me, Eilu midomim sholyei makipurim. The why were there stains on the peroiches? For when the Kohen Gadol spritz blood. Now, Steltzach the Shaila, the Gemara says in Gittin that why was there blood? Because Titus stabbed it, and blood came out, and he thought he killed the Eibishter, Chas v'Sholom. But here it says that it was the blood of that was spritzed on Yom Kippur. So you see the Shelah HaKadosh, he addresses this question. And the Shelah HaKadosh said that really the blood that came out was taken the blood of Yom Kippur. It came out at that time when he stabbed it, but the actual blood, it's not a contradiction. The actual blood that came out was the blood that the Kohen Gadol spritzed on Yom Kippur. Titus HaRasha thought that it was his stabbing, but the blood was actually there the whole time. But either way, we see clearly that the Pareiches and the Kelim were brought to Rome after the Churban Beis HaMikdash. Now, the question that many are asking is, what was Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Yossi doing in Rome? All this time he's telling us his Eidos that he saw this in Rome, that in Rome. What was Rebbe Elazar ben Rebbe Yossi doing on a tour of all the Kelim and all the sites of Rome? And that we will, Mirtzah Hashem, be discussing in tomorrow's shiur.